and Fridays to Get with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. Having a problem getting Mike on the line. I thought he was going to be in Chicago this morning, so we're trying to track him down. Brother Johnny is in New Orleans. Hey!
Stevie J, what you doing, Mike?
I don't know. Sometimes he gets up and he goes down to work out.
Maybe he's golfing. No, he said he was in Chicago.
He always has his cell phone, so I'm guessing in the pool or something, because sometimes he'll go downstairs at this hour to do the pool work.
Yeah.
And if he's in the pool.
That's good. You been working out yourself, Stevie?
Well, not as much as you. You could go to the Boston Marathon. Johnny has ran his first 5K, and Boston Marathon's got 85 to 90 degrees today.
I ran my first 10K. But
was it 10K?
You're correct. I only kept running for the first 5K.
10K 6.2.
Yeah, that's more than I've been working out for. But
Well, there he is. We found Mike. Are you in Chicago, Mike?
I just got back yesterday, Steve. I'm just kind of in a daze here yet. Getting organized. I was taking a shower. I heard that daggone phone ring. And I almost killed myself.
Sorry about that, Coach.
It's no problem. No, I got to travel all week. So I came back.
Yeah, what are you doing? Where are you going this week?
Well, I'm going to speak in Chicago today. Then I'm leaving for a thing in San Antonio tomorrow. Then I'm coming back. I'm going to... With Phoenix on Saturday.
Man, Johnny, have you ever had a schedule like that? It's unreal.
No, not like that, I'll tell you. It's great, though. People love seeing Mike. And
I don't understand it, John, but I'm not going to try to figure it out right now.
Well, I mean, but when you go to Phoenix, when you go to San Antonio, is it much like it was in Champaign? I mean, do people come out of the woodwork with footballs wherever? I mean, is that your life? Is that how that works?
Yeah, they got it pretty organized, Steve, where they probably have an autograph session, at an autograph period, kind of keep it down to what it was designed to be. If it's a motivational speech, they kind of keep it down. There'll be some pictures. There'll be some autographs. That's all part of it. But it's usually what, you know, if they set it up as a speech, it's usually a speech more than anything else.
Yeah. It's a remarkable experience.
It's an amazing thing. If somebody would have told me 50 years ago you could do this and somebody would actually pay you, that would have been very surprised.
Well, Mike, and you get to see, boy, what a view of the United States of America, all these cities and places and people. And
it's so true. I've been in Naples now for a long time, and I just love it down there. It's a little more laid back. There's traffic everywhere. But let me tell you something, guys. When I flew into Midway yesterday on a private plane, and the traffic in Chicago on a Sunday afternoon, I was going, are you kidding me? I mean, I don't know where it was going. I don't know where it's coming from. It was unbelievable. So, you know, there's traffic everywhere you go. You go to Phoenix, you go to Dallas, you go to St. Louis, there's traffic everywhere.
Yeah, but everybody knows Mike Ditka, that's for sure. Right?
I don't know about that. They know Stevie J.
No, I don't think so. No. It's great having you on Mondays and Fridays, Mike and Johnny. A pleasure. And we love going over the news of the day, and certainly tornadoes on our mind. Thoughts and prayers. 6 dead in Oklahoma, when tornadoes, they had 9 minutes to prepare when they heard the sirens in one particular town. Not much you can do about it, Mike, except take cover.
I watched some of that the same as you guys did. Yeah. You don't really understand the greatness of nature or the violence of nature. I mean, it is so powerful. There's just nothing, and you almost got to be lucky. Like, you know, some of these people, the tornado drops down and it lifts up and goes over their house, and then their house is fine and it rips up the next 10 houses. You got to be a little lucky, I guess.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Steve, you get low. I mean, what are you going to do? You have basements up there. Now, we don't have them down here, and we don't have as many tornadoes, but there are some. And it's a scary thing because you don't have, you know, we talk about hurricanes here, but we have days to at least decide what to do. 9 minutes isn't much time.
These things come up pretty quick. Like Steve said, you have 9 minutes warning.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know they're in the area, but what are you supposed to do? Stop your life because they're in the area? I mean, people go on living, and all of a sudden they get caught up in it.
Yeah. All right, also today in the news, listen to this.
Roger Clemens maintained his innocence, telling Congress in 2008,
"Let me be clear. I have never taken steroids or HGH."
But the Justice Department disagreed, and prosecutors are determined to get it right this time. The former pitcher's first perjury trial abruptly ended when the judge declared a mistrial because prosecutors showed jurors evidence that was ruled inadmissible. The government's case hinges on the testimony of Clemens' former trainer. Brian McNamee claims he injected the seven-time Cy Young Award winner with performance-enhancing drugs. The defense says McNamee is the real liar and claims he fabricated evidence. Steve Rappaport, Fox News Radio.
Mike, do we have to go through this with people? No jobs. We're talking about wars in Afghanistan. We're talking about the tornadoes in Kansas and Oklahoma. We got to listen to all this for about a month?
Well, you know, I don't know what happened. And none of us are privy to what happened back there. But Brian McNamee, come on, this is a very low-class individual, guys. I mean, there's no, if you did, you did it. You should be at fault, Dave. Then you should be at fault. That would be like me. If you're a trainer, you're an athletic doctor, and you do something wrong, then you should be at fault. You should be punished. And he's the guy that ought to go to jail, not the guy that he injected. But I'm not saying, I don't know if he injected him or not. I'm just saying, try him after me. I've got to keep his mouth shut. You know, what happens there stays there. That's been said for years.
Well, I'll tell you, he's Billy Cash's neighbor down in Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
If you remember Cash Manor, Roger lived right across the street, and they knew him pretty well. And he always seems like a nice guy. And it's one, you know, his this one guy against him. It's he. I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I don't know what he's going to prove anyway. I mean, well, who do you believe?
The biggest crime now apparently is perjury. But I mean,
yeah. Well, the government doesn't have enough on its mind right now, so they got to go dig up something from 20 years ago, and they try. Come on, we got enough going on in this world, in this country, that we could try to fix right now. Forget about the Justice Department trying to figure this out.
Well, it's going to be analyzed on every channel about body language and did Roger lie and
it's amazing. You're right. It's amazing.
Well, apparently people are interested because that's why they're talking about it. People tune in and say, "What's going on with Clemens?" And it's a story. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm going with Roger on it. I don't know. It's the only guy I know of the two.
Well, and I also think that, you know, while it's not excusable, it was an error of drugs. People did it, and a great number of people did it. And what you learn from it is you come out, you say what happened, and maybe it hurts your chances of the Hall of Fame, but you're not in a trial for perjury.
So, listen, you know, Mike makes the point, too, that the trainer or the doctor could actually inject you with something, and you might not even know what it is.
I was just going to get to that, John. Every athlete, believe me, that's played any sport basically has had a shot of what we call cortisone. Cortisone, so when you put the cortisone in, the first thing they do is they put in a painkiller, a number, which is probably Novocaine, and then they put the other thing in, the cortisone. Cortisone is to enhance the healing process. I mean, I've gone through this as a player. If I told you, you're supposed to get a shot of cortisone every... 6 weeks? Maybe. 6 weeks. I was getting six of them a week. I mean, come on. I mean, it's crazy. But that's what, when you want to play the game, you play the game. If they say it's going to help you heal, you know, it had nothing to do with, it is, well, to a sense, it is a steroid because it does promote healing. But, I mean, everybody took cortisone. I mean, it was crazy. Mm. That's just the way you went out there and played.
Sometimes too, Mike. If the guy's giving you something, you might not know what he might. There might be something else in there that may not quite be. You might not know it.
You want to play so much, it doesn't matter. He could be giving you poison, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't care. You want to go out and play. They say, "Okay, I'm gonna give you this. You can go play." Everybody wanted to go play. That was their job. We were making big money then. We're making $12,000-$15,000 a year. You know, it's a whole different animal. I'm serious. I'm disgusted that even the Justice Department would be talking about this. Bringing this up, it has no bearing on anything. Yeah. Let it go.
Yeah, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, 745, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. The Secret Service in the news this morning.
If it turns out that some of the allegations that have been made in the press are confirmed, then of course I'll be angry.
President Obama talking about the alleged incident where 11 Secret Service agents and 5 military personnel had prostitutes in their hotel rooms in Cartagena.
This is when they went to Colombia to scope out the place for the president. Are you kidding me, Johnny? Is this possible? Won't they be worried about compromise? And a guy saying, I got pictures and blackmail in your Secret Service, leave the back door open?
Well, you know, and maybe that's not even true either, so be careful what you believe. But, yeah, they're supposed to be on the ball a little more than that. That might dull some of your senses, but
I mean,
we'll see. I don't know.
You're not believing this story yet.
Not necessarily. Certainly not that many of them involved, but there could be something to it, you know, a few of them. It's usually not as bad as it sounds. It's usually a little bit exaggerated with those types of things. But I don't know. You know, down in Columbia, huh?
Yeah, and again, I think, you know, while we understand prostitution is the oldest profession, you're talking about the Secret Service. You just think that they're above all of that. I know they're humans, but yikes. It compromises the security of the president.
Yeah, well, you said yikes, and that's right. I mean, it's, hey, listen. Brought a lot of strong men to its knees.
It's a story that we'll be following for sure. All right, Dick Cheney has a new heart, but not a new opinion about President Obama. I don't know if you guys heard it over the weekend, but the Vice President, Johnny, was pretty candid in his views about the President of the United States. Let's listen to Dick Cheney over the weekend here in this clip.
Today, with respect to Barack Obama, I think he has been an unmitigated disaster for the country. I think to be in a position where he gets four more years in the White House to continue the policies he has, both with respect to the economy and tax policy and defense and so many other areas, would be a huge, huge disappointment.
Unmitigated disaster, Johnny.
Well, I think he's had some weaknesses, Steve, and we've talked about it. And I think some of his problem is just his philosophy, which I disagree with. And I think he's surrounded himself with people that are more philosophers than doers. And I don't think some of the theories they have work. And they've tried them, and they don't work. So an unmitigated disaster, well, we're clicking along, and that might be a little strong, but then Cheney's feeling pretty good now, I guess. So when did he get his new heart?
He got his new heart 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Mike, I think. I'm like,
yeah, he has. I was surprised when I saw him. He looked like he had some color back in his face. And,
wow.
Anybody's got a right to say whatever they want to say and feel the way they feel, and Dick Cheney certainly does, as the President of the United States does, so. The opinions, I mean, right now they're rampant in our society. I mean, everybody thinks this, everybody thinks that, and nobody really knows. John made a good point, though. You know, you got to be somebody who acts instead of reacts. I mean, I think take action instead of react to everything. Situation happens, you know, we have too many people who want to react. Well, let's create a positive situation in the beginning by acting.
All right, let me talk about this, the tax hike. They're trying to get, now let me just give you the background. They're trying to get 30% tax on everybody over $1 million, an additional 30%. There's one group that's calling for a 91% tax hike on anyone making over $1 million a year, 91. Now, let's just say the government eventually gets a 91% tax on everybody over $1 million, 91% tax on everybody over $1 million. That would run our government for 33 hours, Johnny. That's all it means. This is a ridiculous argument.
Well, it won't run government at all, Steve, because the country would be out of business. You're not going to be able to take money from people who are building companies and give it to people who are, I don't know what they're doing with the money. I still haven't figured it out. So that's not going to happen, I don't believe. The 30% is on what they call the capital gains, which is investment money. And that's not going to have the impact negatively that they're saying, and it certainly isn't going to have zero impact positive, absolutely none. There's something like $50 billion on the line over 10 years. This is a country that's $16 trillion in debt. We're $1.5 trillion a year. It's very much like arguing over a dollar or two when a guy owes you $1,000. It's like a guy owes you $1,000 and he's telling you, I'd pay it back, but Stevie, he owes me a dollar and I got to get that dollar.
Yeah.
If I can't get that dollar, we're going to stay in a debt. It's zero money, relatively speaking, and it's a red herring, and it's clearly an effort to divide the people by class. That's that class warfare thing. Mm. And kind of, I'll take care of you, but these people are taking us to the cleaners type of mentality. And that's the thing I object about Obama. He's not able to come up with the idea, as Mike mentioned, so he tries to get one group mad at the other group. I'll cover you. Vote for me. And that's, I don't like that. That's bad business.
Well, guys, we all know that this could be straightened out. I mean, you know, a flat tax, you know, get rid of write-offs. A lot of things can happen now. If you say you make over $1 million, I'm going to charge you 20 cents for every dollar you make over $1 million. All right, you want to go down to the lower class and say, okay, people who make under 50,000, they pay 8%, okay, 10%. Let me tell you something, guys. You could balance the budget. It would work. But you've got to cut out all the loopholes. Hey, listen, the IRS, our tax system is so convoluted, and it's been brought on by itself. I mean, once you put a system in place, everybody's trying to find a way to beat the system. So there's a write-off here, there's a write-off there, there's a write-off there. And I know, listen, we all went through it. We wrote off mortgages, we wrote off this, we wrote off that. But I'm just telling you, if you want to make it right for everybody, if you make it flat and you get rid of all that stuff, you don't need the IRS. I mean, you don't need people running around checking on everybody.
Well, on the other side of the coin, the tax revenue is one side of the coin, just like any business, Steve, what you sell. And then the other side is what you spend. And I haven't seen one really, we've heard a lot, but not one real serious discussion about cutting what we're going to have to cut, no matter what your taxes are. What did we talk about a few weeks ago, where in about 15 or 20 years, the budget's going to equal the gross national product, which is all the money everybody makes. 100% of everybody's pay is going to be required by the United States government if they don't stop spending. And that's on a track in something like 15 or 20 years, Steve.
No, that's nuts.
So when are they going to get serious about that? Because raising these taxes won't make a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. No, you're right, Steve. You're right exactly. You've gone. But then again, we start operating with common sense. We don't want to do that now. We don't want to do that once in D.C.
Well, is this transcending party? Do you think, Johnny, is this a systematic thing?
Yes, it's a systematic thing, and there's a mentality that is just consistently pulling us into this big government hole, and we're all part of it. We all want to cut the other guy's spending, but nobody really wants to give up anything they can get. So
yeah, right.
Eventually, that's all gotta come to an end. But it's a big problem, and I think that the government spending is much more of a problem than the taxing. They're getting $2 trillion in every year. That's a lot of money, even for the United States of America. So that's 20% of what we make. That should be enough. 20% off the top. That's the house money, Mike. 20%. That should run it.
John, a lot of people don't even comprehend what you're saying, but, I mean, it's so true. I mean, we have a society that says, well, it won't affect me. And if it does affect me, they'll take care of us.
Yeah.
Well, that's what people are thinking. And I just, where is the thing about, hey, stand up for your rights, but stand up with pride and say dignity and say, yes, I have a job, I want a job, I work, I support a family. Those things, to me, well, we lost a value system there.
All right, finally, Albert Pujols, Mike Ditka, brother Johnny, has hit in the 230s. He's now gone the longest into a season without a home run. I mean, Albert's Albert. He's going to be great for the Angels. But at some point, the $275 million or whatever he gets in Anaheim, the grumbling starts early when the pressure's that tough, Mike.
Well, first of all, it's foolish. You know, it's like you pay that kind of money to one individual. Baseball's it's still a team sport. You know, you pay $2 billion for a basketball team. Stop it. Or a baseball team.
Yeah.
The LA Dodgers. Come on. more power to you. If you want to do it, fine. Is it good business? No, it's not good business. Not good financing. I respect the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are a good team, a great organization. And I think they'll win. I think they'll continue to win without Albert Pujols. It's not about one player. Yeah, he certainly helps, but it's not about one player.
No.
Well, I don't understand why there isn't more of a incentive-based contract, this idea of just guaranteeing this pile of money, why don't they do a partial, minimum, but then if you're hitting this or hitting that, you get a lot more money. I think those, like a golfer, Steve, hey, you're not going to get any money if you don't win. It doesn't matter what you did last year.
Well, the agents have done this, right?
Well, that, a lot of it comes through then because that's guaranteed money, like you say. You know, if you are an athlete and you have any confidence in your ability or your skills, you got to understand it's not fair because if you get hurt too, then the team is not going to think too much. So that's why they've gone after all this guaranteed money because of injury. Now, if it was a fact like this, if you got injured playing the game, then you should get your money anyways. And I think in a lot of cases you still can. But I'm just saying right now that the agents have created most of this, believe me. And I don't know. Why do you need an agent? If you're a good player, I go in and I just say, hey, listen, what do you want to pay me?
Well, I think that when you have no particular incentive, it just may help your intensity have some goals that give you that motivation.
If you bat such and such, or you hit so many RBIs, or you strike out so many guys, I agree with you. That's why you're there.
Hey, guys, we're going to leave it there. Johnny, thanks for coming to see Joseph and the Amazing Gal.
Quick one. Tom Benson, the Saints owner.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Johnny.
Saints owner Tom Benson just bought the Hornets.
Yeah. He bought the Hornets, and now he's got both buildings in downtown New Orleans.
Well, and I'm thinking they should change the name of the Hornets to the Sinners, so we'll have the Saints and the Sinners. Anyway, that's what I got, Stevie, down here in New Orleans.
Thanks for coming to Joseph, Johnny. The triplets appreciated you.
The play at Centennial, the musical, High School Musical, Joseph in the Multicolored Robe.
Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
That's right.
It was really, didn't you like it? It was amazing.
No, what a great high school. Well, that was a professionally done deal. I'll tell you, they've got some great folks over there helping. There must have been 150 kids out there.
Yeah, there were.
And you know what we thought was great? The live music from the high school band.
No question about it. That was
unbelievable.
Huge. Hey, listen, Johnny, thanks again.
All right, Stevie J.
We'll talk to you Friday, brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM.